Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I just praise you and I glorify you, Father. I thank you for the supernatural miracles that are taking place right before our very eyes. And I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us and are going to do for us. And we're going to do for you too, Lord. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you draw us so close to you, Lord, that we just feel you, your presence all the time, all the time. And we can just turn over and ask the Lord, what about this? Or what about that? And you'll answer us. And Father, I just thank you and I glorify you for bringing us that close to you, Lord. That everything that we do, Lord, is dedicated to what you want us to do and not what we want us to do, Lord. And let everything that we have be yours at your disposal. And I thank you for it, Father. Even our money, even our worldly material things, Lord, they're all yours. You allowed us to acquire them, and Lord, you can tell us what you want to do with them or leave us, let them stay with it, whatever. But Lord, I know through your glory that you have a great small number of people that are dedicated to you that want to do nothing but what you want them to do. And Lord, I know that there's going to be supernatural miracles that are just going to be astounding the world, that will bring people out of those apostate churches, Lord, like the Catholic Church. And Father, we thank you for doing that for all of the people that want to come into the kingdom, Father. And I thank you, Father, that your elect will come out and be a part of this great awakening. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us tonight as we fellowship together from all these people from all different parts of the world. And Lord, let it be a blessing to all tonight. Father God, we thank you for this open heaven that you have given us, that any time that we pray, our prayers are answered. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless us with your glory tonight. Bless us that all the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation tonight in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and thank you for all the healings that's going to take place, all the deliverances that's going to take place. Lord, we know that there are people out there that we don't even know about that hear this outreach and that they are blessed with healings and deliverances all the time. And we just thank you and praise you, Father. We won't know until we get the other side of heaven. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for watching our lips to speak only as an oracle of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord of God, anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Claire. Isaac. Is that 540? Is that Chris? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
My mom called me this morning, and most of you read the chat, they ran a bunch of tests on my dad today, and they couldn't figure out what's going on, so they're going to do surgery tomorrow. They tried to put, I forget what it's called, dye in or something, and they couldn't fit, the tube wouldn't go in, so they know there's something blocking it. So, anyway, Lord, we know you got this, Lord, and we believe that nothing major is wrong, that it's just something simple. And, and we just refuse to receive any kind of a bad report other than something simple. Like it could just be just a kink in his, intestines. And I was talking to Eve, and she said she can't imagine with the description of what I told her, and that it's all of a sudden he's had this issue, that it's anything major, because if it was something major, he would have had symptoms way before Friday. So we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for Could report that it's just something minor, easily fixed, and he will be home ASAP. And I thank you, Lord, for putting peace and rest in my mom's heart and dad's heart and the rest of the family. And I refuse, I forbid any curses to be spoken on my dad. And I break all curses spoken on my dad in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help me to know how to be weak to the weak. And I ask you, Lord, to just increase mom and dad's faith exponentially, Lord, through this. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing, Lord. And amen. I'm going to leave tomorrow morning to go to get to my parents, though. Thank you, Lord, for safe travels. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, Lord. I know that my mom and dad are in your hands. My dad in your hands, your hand right now in particular. And pray for a good night's rest for him and mom and dad both. And I just thank you, Lord, that all is well. In Jesus' name, amen. That is
amen.
Healthy and healed.
All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody got a testimony? I got one. He's coming back. Praise God. Glory to God. I believe it more now than I did 2 minutes ago, 2 days ago, 5 days ago, ever what it was. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Yeah, Isaac.
Yeah, hello. Hey, everybody.
Hey, boy.
I got a testimony. Maybe an odd testimony, but it's a testimony about negative faith. And that's important to understand. And I want to tell you what happened to me today because of it. But it's also a faith builder. At least I feel that way. So y'all know that where I work at, so I've told you about where I work and what I do. Anyways, I work on an assembly line that's very, everything's pretty much obsolete. A lot of the technology, this is like a 30-year-old line. And, you know, usually you update more often than that because technology is just so fast paced anymore. Well, I've been trying to work on these quotes for like a upgrade the electrical system. And that includes like literally everything, but I won't go into it. And, you know, the Japanese are like, hey, you have to, this is your budget, get it done. So I get it done under budget. They're like, nah, not doing it no more. it's difficult, especially for those who are quoting us, because it took them like 2 weeks to do it. And it's like, I'm not doing business with you, man. Sorry. But that's the name of the game. So I was talking to a technician and we got these old amplifiers that are obsolete. You can't even buy them. And if you do buy them, you have to find them on eBay if they're there. That's not good. So I told the technicians, I said, well, and so, you know, I prayed about this place I'm working that it get good numbers because it hadn't been, and they've been getting really good numbers. And I don't know what the explanation is other than God. It's nothing physical. And so I told the technician today, I said, man, you know what? I might have to buy some of those MRJ2 amplifiers on eBay. I'm just go ahead and buy them on eBay. That way we got them, because if they won't invest and go ahead and put in the money, then I need to get it back up. Now these things are, they're built like tanks, these amplifiers. They don't really go bad. I mean, this equipment's been so around so long. So once I said that, it wasn't 5 minutes later. I mean, these things have been there for years. 5 minutes later, one blew up. And it's like, exactly. Like, what's the chances of that? And here's, and so I was already thinking about it. I said, man, I mean, I was just talking about a piece of equipment. I didn't really mean anything by it. But I am planning for the destruction of this equipment because it's inevitable, or does it have to be? You know, it's kind of a question of faith there. And so I was already thinking it, but my technician goes, you know, you did say this today. And now look at us. We're in a situation. I said, yeah, you're right. I said, I was thinking the same thing. I said, you ever heard of negative faith before? And he laughed. And I said, man, that's a real thing. And I think today was a perfect portrayal of negative faith. Spoke it into existence in a negative way, and it came to pass. That ain't that something? And I was pretty impressed by it. Not like, you know, not like a spanking, like, oh no, I did this time. I didn't feel that way at all. I was like, wow, you know, I should be a little more careful. But man, there's truth to what we speak in existence. Don't ever think it isn't. I mean, this is real, man. But whether positive or negative, that's all I want to share.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hey, Tim and Katie. How are y'all?
Good.
Awesome. No. All right. I like seeing that big smile. Glory to God. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Missy.
You know, I was praying and believing that my dad wasn't going to have surgery. So I'm going to continue to stand on that, that some way the Lord will not permit the surgery. I know the my mom said that they were going to squeeze him in. Well, Lord, I pray that that gets put off and they decide to try something else, you know, or whatever. And they just find that it's just not there, you know, whatever the issue is, that there is no issue. Amen. That he's healed. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Glory to God. The glory to God. We believe with you.
I was believing for no surgery, Lord. Amen. So I'm gonna stand on that, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus. Lord. He is healed. There is no obstruction. And I pray you and I thank you, Lord, for working that out. However that looks, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. We're looking for the good report, Lord.
Amen.
Praise Thank God you. Forevermore.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Claire.
It's not really a testimony, but it's just like I'm so excited. Because I was reading about Jericho falling with my kids this morning, and my boy just like climbed right up close to me. He's like, I love this story. And I read it and I was just so amazed, you know, like the angel of the Lord comes to tell Joshua what to do. He comes to tell him what to do. And then they walk and they blow trumpets and they shut their mouths. For 7 days, and then they do it 7 times, and then those walls fall down. I mean, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like, it's just the best story, isn't it? Like, it's just so awesome. I just needed to share it with someone. Like, it's so exciting. I love that story.
The great thing about that story is the archaeologists have found that the walls went straight down in the ground. They didn't crumble like you'd think, you know. They went straight down in the ground. That was awesome. Lord, God, that is a great story. That's one of my favorites, too. I like the blowing the horns. Going around and blowing the horns. And then walls came crashing down, came tumbling down. Glory to God. Yeah, Missy.
What I think is so amazing is that it says, and it's like after you hear, I forget who it was, showed him that the angels pushed the walls down in the ground. But if you read it, it says they fell down flat. you know, and the angels just pushed those walls down into the ground, and archaeologists have, you know, dug it up, and it's, yeah, they're just like, they're still there, but they're down in the ground. And it wasn't that they were like crushed. They didn't have to climb over them. But yeah, I get it, Claire. It's really cool. I mean, when you really understand what really, really happened, it's like,
they just ran in there. Wall wasn't no walls. It was just straight going inside the getting inside the town.
I mean, my gosh, those walls were really thick. And if they had to climb over all that rubble, they'd have been slaughtered rather than the other way around, you know?
Absolutely.
But
God put his strong, he probably put his weakest angels on that, you know?
Yeah. 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 Like one little finger.
Pushed it down. Pretty absolutely. Cool. That's awesome.
That's so cool.
My, my, my. I wanted to ask y'all, I just got through reading about Enoch. Well, let me get Vanita first. Go ahead, Vanita.
Sorry about that. I thought I'd jump in there. I just wanted to share something that happened. I was listening to a Bible study last night, and my mom called, and she said, you need to, you know, get on Netflix and watch this video. Hold on, sorry, my dog's trying to get in here. Okay, you need to watch this video. It's really good. It's an interview of Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey, and they're doing an interview. And I'm like, no, that's okay. I don't think I'll watch that. And my mom goes, Vanita, you have got to not be so, you know, just so close-minded. You really have to listen to them. You know, they're not saying anything bad. They're just talking about life and stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, that's fine. You can, you know, I'm not going to listen to that. And I just don't believe that they have, they've done good things. And I don't want to listen to somebody that, you know, that I know that they've done evil things, and I don't want to listen to evil people. And she's like, well, you're just so close-minded and this and that. Okay, fine, whatever, that's fine. So she was kind of upset that I wasn't more open-minded. But so I got off the phone with her, and I kind of felt, I mean, I know I didn't want to watch it for sure, but I kind of felt bad that she didn't understand a little bit. And so then I'm listening on to the Bible study, and it was that, what was his name, Vincent, the one that, it wasn't David that was teaching that one. I can't remember his name. But anyways, he was talking in the Bible study, he was talking about rigid righteousness. And I thought, oh my gosh, because after I talked to my mom, I was praying. I was like, Lord, give me something, you know, just so I feel comfort that I did the right thing and that I shouldn't be listening to these people, you know, the faction and everything. And then he gave me that message about rigid righteousness. And that was so great. It was just like, yeah, I'm not going to listen to evil people. Why would you? And then there was this message, and in that message, in the transcript, David at the end, he talked about, Satan, he tickles people's ears and he tells them what they want to hear. That has always been the method of Satan, to tell people what they want to hear, to keep them at ease in Zion, to keep them comfortable in areas of their lives where they should not be comfortable. Anytime you're not comfortable, I believe it's the Holy Spirit shaking things up. So that was such a good confirmation. You know, Satan just always wants to tell us lies, but he covers it up with so much truth. Like we've talked about before, he'll tell you 10 true things or good things that you'd agree with. And all underneath that is just lies and deception. So praise the Lord for that confirmation. I really just felt great when I heard all that. Amen.
What's that old saying? Garbage in, garbage out. In other words, what you put in here comes out here. And that's good.
Yeah, but like my mom says, they're not saying anything bad. Like, well, you know, it could just be one little thing in there.
If their mouth is open, they're saying something bad.
And she doesn't know anything about their sex trafficking and, you know, whether he's a man or a woman, you know, any of that stuff. She doesn't know any of that. She doesn't believe any of that. So yeah. There's no point in even going there with her and explaining that to her because you won't believe it. But yeah. I know, you know. So.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for exposing all of these evil, corrupt people like you're doing. Like you're doing. Praise God.
And thank you, Lord, for giving Benita such a sweet disposition to be rigidly righteous. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I ain't listening to that. What you talking about? I ain't going to listen to that. That'd be my response. But anyway, I was reading about Enoch, and I got to thinking about that. Enoch, he walked with God, what was it, 365 years? And then the Lord took him. Now, why do you think the Lord took him? Why was he able to walk with the Lord and be his friend and all of that? What's y'all's take on that particular story? How many of you would like to have the same opportunity? Yeah. Me too. Well, where is it? I think it's in Hebrews something. Hebrews, he talks about that. Hebrews, anybody got any comments on that? Listen, you have, Vanita, go ahead, yeah.
I was just going to say, I mean, we know that everything that happened to them was a type and a shadow for us, and that's the type and the shadow for being caught up to the throne, as the man-child will be caught up to the throne, and as it talks about in Revelation. So that's one thing.
Amen. Well, let's see what it says, why God likes Enoch so much. I believe it's actually that and also the rapture of the live in Christ at the end. It says, what? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. For he hath had witness borne to him that before his translation, he had been well pleasing unto God. All right, what's going on? Oh, okay. All right. Does anybody see anything here that tells us why God liked him? Yeah, Pat. I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah, I was just looking at Jude, verse 14. And he said, and the seventh from Adam, Enoch, also prophesied of these men, saying, behold, the Lord came with myriads of his saints to do judgment against all and to rebuke all the ungodly of them concerning all their ungodly works, which they ungodly did, and concerning all the hard things ungodly sinners spoke against him. And that speaks of the time of, I think, the physical Jesus return. Well, I won't say that. It speaks of Jesus' return. And the thing that caught my eye was the seventh from Adam. Like, connecting in with the 7 years of tribulation. And I think what you're saying, you're indicating that it has to do with the rapture and the return of Christ. I'm, you know, I haven't thought about it until just now, actually, but.
But what made him a friend? That's more what I'm looking for than actual parallels here.
I see.
What do you think it was? It tells us he believed him. He believed everything he said. Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry. Claire, whoever. I don't know.
I was thinking like what you said. He believed him. I think his one-on-one fellowship with God was just like, you know, your best friend. You know, you talked to him about everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Claire.
The name Enoch means dedicated.
Aha.
What was he dedicated to?
Yeah, go. Did you have some message? You something over itching. I thought she was trying to raise your hand.
Just pointing up like he was dedicated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was dedicated. Well, what does that mean? He wasn't going to do anything to get outside of God, was he? Everything he did was dedicated to doing what God wanted him to do. Now, at 365 years, there were people around him that was living 600-700 years at the time. So he was just a young man, wasn't he? Relatively speaking. I don't know, but you know what? I believe there's going to be people in this end time that's going to be just like that. Well, I know there is. He's already told us. There's three people that, there's three people that were taken out of here without dying, wasn't it? Elijah, Enoch, and the last group. Three. All right, what's going on? Yeah. Yeah, it's faith. He had faith in God. He had trust in God. That's what faith is. We can't have faith in our own faith. We have to have faith in God. But when you trust God, you know that he's going to do it. He's going to follow through. He's not going to let you stand out there looking like a fool. He's going to fulfill what you're believing. And all you're doing is trusting God. It's not your faith. He said the faith the size of a mustard seed that you can pour out of a salt shaker. The size of a mustard seed will move a mountain from thence to there, to the sea. So the only faith you need to have it in is God. That's what he wants you to have it in, him. You don't have to build your faith up. All you need to do is trust God. You have bold trust in God. And when you have bold trust in God to do what he says he's going to do, you can go out there and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Do all those things that Jesus did because you are Jesus, because Jesus resides in you. You are a new creation, glory to God. We all are new creation. We have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit that is the power, the leading, and the teaching of the scriptures to us. I say it. I mean, we've got the power of the universe living inside of us. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I always thought because out of the original apostles, even almost all of them were martyred, except for the apostle John. And some people, he died of old age, and some people liken that to those who go alive to heaven, like as an allegory, you know, as a pattern of events for the people who are taken up alive. Because he died of natural causes from the original ones. And makes you kind of wonder, because, you know, he's the best noted for always talking about the love of God too. So I know that love never fails. So that's a big venue there, because I think you got to have the faith that worketh God too. And anyways, I just thought I'd throw that in. Any other inspiring things might come.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. How do you build your faith? All right, Missy.
There's a lot of different ways, but the main thing that comes to me is reading the scriptures and confessing the promises.
That's it. That's pretty simple. Confessing the scriptures, confessing the word of God, and putting the word of God in you so you can confess them. Amen. Yeah, Benita.
I think another thing that builds faith is having good fellowship with true believers. That's really changed, helped me a lot.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
It's also back to Enoch again. It said he walked with God. And obviously that's an important aspect of believing and faith, is walking it out. So that's all.
Yeah, well, that's a great point, because what is walking with God now? The word, right? It's the word. We stay in the word. We learn about God in the word. We ask him questions out of the word. The word says he hears you. The word says he watches you through the word. That word's a living thing, isn't it? Yes. Praise God. What a God. Man, I get excited talking about faith, because I can see everybody. Faith rising about 9 million characters up here shortly. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. People going to be jumping up and down. Because they know now that what the word says is true. Go ahead, Claire.
I just wanted to say something about faith. Like, you never know what's happening in someone's heart. And this weekend past, Rhiannon and I went through only about 30,000 photos with the children of what we've taken of them since they've been born. And you know how you are as a parent, you think every little thing. And then the other two are like, hey, hang on, why is there not enough? Mika's got so many photos. Where's all our photos? That is not a situation you want to be in. But anyway, thank God for grace. What I'm trying to say is that in our walk, like, we were so blessed to have come to some kind of knowledge of the truth when we were just young parents. And we had so much faith that, well, what we thought was so much faith. And then we look at these photos and it's like, only God could have seen that faith. No one would have seen that faith. Like, the way we looked, the way we lived, the way everything we did, the way we dressed our kids, like, everything was just not showing faith. It was still so much in the world. And yet we know, and the Lord knows, we had faith for certain things in certain areas. And then we look at the photos 5 years on and we can see there's a change, but it's still like almost embarrassing to think that we called ourselves Christians and that was what our life was like, and yet we know we had faith because we were overcoming things and the Lord was gracious to us. And I think when we look at our photos in 10 years time, we'll cringe at this time in this wilderness, because we'll be like, what, they said they had faith, but you know, she still had the leopard print head covering on, like, what is that? And so it'll be this continuous thing, and only God knows. And so we have to have the patience of the saints with ourselves, but also with others, right? Because this faith thing is gonna take a lifetime. Like it's a wonderful thing. Anyway, that's just what I found this week. It was really freeing, but it was also really humbling to go, yeah, you've been telling people you've been listening to David for 12 years and you're only like 1 centimeter moved on. You know, like don't tell people how long you've been listening to David, because it'll give them the wrong idea.
Oh my. Okay, Ben. Go ahead. Thank you, Claire. Go ahead, Ben.
Just go back to what you were talking about with Enoch, and you said that he walked with God. And a verse kind of popped into my head, Galatians 5:16, says, "But I say, walk in spirit, and ye shall in no wise fulfill the lusts of the flesh." And so you also said that he walked with him for 365 years. Well, that's how many days are in a year. So he walked with God 365 years or days. So that could be, I don't really know where I'm going at it here, but he's saying that he's kind of walking with him sort of every day throughout the year. And so when you're walking in, now what we have is the Spirit, which is the Word of God living in us, which is God living in us, being in that every day, walking in that, taking in His Word, and walking by His Word and His commandments, with His commandments in our hearts. It's sort of just kind of like a type and shadow of who we are today, of, I forget, the first fruits of Christ. It's who we are meant to be. We're being, and he got called out of the world alive, and we are being called out of the world alive, becoming Christ, becoming Jesus, becoming the Son. I don't know. That's just kind of like what I'm seeing here. I'm trying to just make it physical and going spiritual here. We're, yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
Amen. Amen. Well, the thing about it is, it's... go ahead, Andrew.
I noticed that 365 too, and I said, yeah, that's about how many days there are in a year. And when he spoke that, there's also four seasons every year. No matter what season it is, he's still walking with God. You know, there might be you don't want to be in a winter season, because there's no growth there. So we had that growth before we were called.
Yeah,
praise God.
Amen. Amen. God, I said, we're getting some good stuff here out of Enoch's little 365 years of walking with the Lord. That means he walked with the Lord every day. And when he walked with him every day, that means we need to walk with him every day if we want to be his friend. Yeah, Missy.
I was just thinking, it makes me think of 24/7.
Yeah, 24/7. Yeah, if we can do that, when you put the Word in you, every, like David talks about many, many times, he says, just, he studied the Bible over and, you know, every minute, every spare moment that he could, he studied the Word of God. Even now, he does the same thing. So I have tried to emulate him. And how many of you know that distractions sometimes pull you away from the Word of God? And that's when you have to have that discipline. What do I want? Do I want this distraction, or do I want God? And that's just, I'm talking to myself now. I'm talking to myself. And I've had many times, I got to go do, oh, no, I don't have to do that right now. I can do it later, because I want to stay in the Word. But a lot of times I get up. So we need to. Reason I wanted to bring this up is because of the time that we're in now. This is the end time. We are in the end time. Wilderness, it, as the old boy said, found the star. It found the star. All right, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, I'm sure Enoch also was aware of what was going on around him with the descendants of Seth and Enoch mixing, probably slowly. I don't know how far along it was, probably when he walked with the Lord. So he would have run into these people too, but it wouldn't be phasing him, you know. And I know sometimes we slip up. Sometimes we might say something about someone. Whereas in the Pilgrim's Progress, when they arrested them, they only said good things for the bad things that they were being called when they were going through the Vanity Fair thing there. So Jesus met up with a lot of these people when he was doing his ministry, you know. And it makes you kind of wonder if even Enoch had some like righteous anger like Jesus had for getting the people out of the temple or something. I'm just thinking out loud, that's all. So, you know, and Jesus heard of a tower falling on 18 people, so he had some pretty bad news too. You know, we get inundated with news, even in, like, if you're going to the bank and they have the TV on, you see what's going on up there, and you hear things and stuff in society. You know, what was that song? Everywhere we go, everywhere we be, Jesus is mine. So it's a work in progress. Praise God.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Well, we're talking about Enoch and why the Lord took him at 365 years old. He was a young man, but he had to go. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I'd like to think that we're all striving to be like Enoch and be like Jesus, to want to be able to be led by the Spirit of God, be able to listen to the Lord tell you what to do. Be listened, because if you know the Word of God, you'll know and discern whether or not it's from God or the enemy. And you have to know the Word of God in order to do that discernment. Have that discernment. All right. Anybody else on Enoch? Yeah, Julie.
Just a couple of scriptures that came to my mind was in John 15, where the Lord was talking to his disciples and he said, "You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. And no longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you." And I was just thinking that, you know, the Lord calls us friends. That's how he sees us. And, you know, it's a relationship thing where you share. You know, I call, you know, Jesus is my friend, you know. And the scripture before that in verse 13 where it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down life for his friends." And we've been called to lay down our lives for one another, you know. And so we're all friends when we do that, you know. We're all friends of the Lord. And I still just think it's really a relationship thing that God wants with each of us, you know, sons and daughters and friends, and, you know, a friend sticks closer, you know, and even a brother, sometimes it's like your friend, you do things for your friend because you love him and you care. And, you know, he's our best friend. And that's the relationship he wants us to have. It's like, you know, you talk to him as a friend. You know, that's just what was coming to me about that. It's just the whole relationship thing that God wants us to have, like Enoch had, like Abraham had, like all the forefathers had, and how Jesus was relating the Father to us. That's how he came to, so we would know who the Father is. He is so many things, and we reverence him. He's God, you know, but he's also a Father, and we reverence him in that way, and the fear of the Lord and those things, but still you get to that relationship. I think it's the whole growth thing is, as he reveals more and more things to us, if we're not just servants, we're sons and daughters, we're friends to him, that, you know, we know him more intimately in different areas. And I think a lot of ways it's going to be like that in heaven with him, you know. Too, you know, just some of my thoughts on that.
Amen. That verse 13, listen to it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Did Jesus lay down his life for his friend? He did. And he wants us to do the same thing. And by that, we just give up the world and the flesh and help the people around us like Jesus did. Walk on this earth just like Jesus did. He says, you are my friends if you do the things which I command you. This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole world, in the whole book. There was another scripture. Oh, here it is. I am the vine, number 5:15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Don't get distracted like we tend to do sometimes. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You got to stay with the Lord. You can't be distracted. And it's becoming more evident to me every day that we have to stay in the Word as much as possible. I know some of us work and all of that. There's a lot of things going on, but there's a lot of times that we just can put it, you know, can lay it aside until it's a better opportunity. But now's the time. What's that verse? Now's the time for salvation. Lord of God, right now. All right. Anybody else? I like this for one reason. Well, for many, many, many reasons. If we're the branch and Jesus is the vine and the Father is the stock, so to speak, now everything that flows through them flows through us, right? As long as we are in the Word, as long as we're doing those things that God has us to do. Everything that Jesus did on earth, we have the capability to do it also. We just need to step out in faith and do it. And the faith is, I trust the Lord, glory to God. Come here, lady. What's wrong with your back? What's wrong with your leg? What's wrong? Can't you hear? Well, watch what God's fixing to do. You want God? You want me to pray for you? Yeah, that sounds good. I can't hear you, though. What'd you say? And then you say, can I pray for you? Yeah. And then you grab them. You say, in the name of Jesus, I command that deaf spirit out of those ears right now in the name of Jesus. Ow. Ah. I did that to a 13-year-old in a church that didn't believe in healing. Lord just opened up her left ear. He did. I was the only one that was deaf. He opened up her left ear. The other one was okay. Lord of God. And that's what he wants us to do. Be like Jesus. Yeah, Ben, go ahead, brother.
Again, to go back to the whole Enoch thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, But I did read Genesis not too long ago, so it's a little fresh in my mind, that there was no law yet. There was, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, there was no covenant really yet, because that was even before Noah. So there was no like set line at that point of what men were supposed to do. But all Enoch knew was that God was God. And he wanted to know who God was, who he was in character, his nature, and obviously his authority. But he was just so mainly focused on that, and he wanted that one-on-one relationship with him. And obviously that's the way we need to seek it. Obviously, in those days, like, God called him up. He's like, you're doing a great job. Like, why don't you get on up here now? And that's kind of, it's quite like eye-opening. It's just like, he doesn't want you to just follow words on a paper. He wants you to live. He wants you to want to live the life that he has for you. And Enoch did such a good job of wanting that life so badly that he gave it to him early. And so if we go at it with that mindset, it's just like, well, here it is. And then from what I'm seeing, again, I don't know. I'm just trying to spiritualize this whole thing because we're supposed to take it spiritually now. It's really encouraging. It's just God wants you to want it. All you got to do is want it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. All you have to do is just want it. Ask the Lord. If you don't want it, all you have to do is ask him to give you the want to want it. And he'll give it to you. Amen. Why did you pray for him to come back? I'm just asking you, Isaac. Maybe the Lord took him. All right. Anybody else on Enoch? Maybe the Lord took him home. Okay, has anybody got anything they want to talk about? Yeah, Willie, go ahead, Willie. Willie, you're not unmuted. And you're sideways. Is he fixing to be raptured out of here? Getting ready, are you, buddy? Okay. You have to unmute yourself in order for us to hear you. Help him, Lord.
Thank All right, you, there we are. I cannot fix the sideways issue. Hey, everybody. I was trying to connect my mouse and, you know, unplug my keyboard and do everything else, and it turned my picture sideways. Now I'm just stuck that way. But don't worry, I'm not falling away. I like numbers. You know, I want to play with these numbers for just a little bit and see what you guys think. 3 represents how Christ died, you know, how he was, you know, death, burial, resurrection. So it represents those 3 days. 6 represents the number of man, and 5 represents grace. So Christ died for us, you know, Christ went through a situation, that's 3, for mankind that we might receive grace. And so I can see why he did 365 days. you know, because it's all represent, each one of these numbers represents something. You know, it's preaching the gospel in those numbers. You know, 3, look what Christ did for us. Who did he do it for? He did it for man, that we might receive grace. But you also see in 365 that Christ came in the flesh and gave grace to all mankind. And you could, it's both of those, the entire gospel is in there as well. And so I just find it unique, you know, these numbers, you know, they're quite amazing. And why he uses, how he uses them in the way that he does. But yeah, you see the, his 3 days and three nights in the grave. Who was it done for? Number 6, mankind. What did mankind receive after that? 5, which is grace. And then you see Christ in these numbers. 3, you know, that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, 6 represents flesh, you know, and the Word was made flesh, you know. And number 5, he gave us grace for grace. So it's all there. There's such a beautiful wonder in the things God shot together using those numbers. But I'm done. That's just what I saw in it.
Amen. Yeah, that's pretty cool with the numbers. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, if you add 3 + 5 + 6, it's 14, and 14 means salvation. Amen. Today is the day of salvation, like Michael said earlier.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, you really got to do something about your pad there, brother.
365 days a year. Today is the day of salvation. Every day is the day of salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't want you falling on your ear. Oh, praise the Lord. He's coming in for a landing, folks. Lord of God. Set it down. Set it down. Set it down. There you go. Don't wreck it. Ah, praise the Lord. Wonderful landing. All right. Anybody else? Oh, we have too much fun on this fellowship. All right. Anyone else? Well, we can go back into the book. Sovereign God.
I'm wondering, if it was 365 years, you know, does it speak somewhere in the Bible about the anything that deals with a year and referring to Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it say something about the year of the Lord?
One day is, one day is a year in the Lord, yeah.
Yeah, because I know you got one day is 1,000 and 1 year represents one day. I'm wondering if if this is referring to, I'm going to have to think on it because I know the Lord's going to give me an answer on it. I just was wondering if anyone had anything on it.
Go ahead, Joe. He got it.
Sorry, I want to ask something else, not about what he's talking about. You can finish what he's talking about. I want to talk something else.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to ask, does anybody know what the Queen of Sheba represents in the Bible? I got it as a verse yesterday for someone, and I just want to ask if what could it represent, or what or who represents the Queen of Sheba? Anybody know?
I'm not familiar. I haven't made a study on that one. I don't know. Anybody else done one on Queen of Sheba? I saw the moon. All right, Joe, you got the answer, don't you? Okay. Anybody else understand what the Queen of Sheba represents? One thing she did have, she had a lot of money, didn't she? She had a lot of respect for Solomon. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
She came seeking the wisdom of Solomon when she heard about him. Mm-hmm. And she brought him lots of gifts. And you know, she asked him everything she could think of. And I think, it doesn't say this, I'm just guessing, you know, it's like when she left, she left with, didn't he give her things too in return? So I think they were, you know, for a queen of the South and king overall Israel, they, you know, allies, friends, you know, and Jesus spoke of her that she would sit and judge this generation that was there because they did not believe him. Where she came, you know, something was greater than Solomon was here. It was him, you know, the creator of the earth, you know, everything that there is, you know, but everyone repented, you know, the repentance and, you know, the reverence. I don't know. I just think she just represents maybe people who of even the great wealth and riches of the world in the world, you know, at the preaching of the gospel will be somebody who will repent and be saved. I don't know. You know, because
does she
that's a
represent
gift.
The bride?
I don't know.
Could he represent the man child? Go ahead, Missy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
You know, when Vanita mentioned earlier, she said, was that a recent video you said about Vincent? It was Vincent Xavier. And I think he's the one, I listen to that. I don't listen to the new ones that come out very often, but I think he's the one that mentioned that and made that comparison, the parable or whatever, that she represents the bride. And I thought it was very good. It was, yeah. So if you want to go back and listen to that, it's interesting. I can't regurgitate. Don't ask me to regurgitate. What he said.
We're not going to do that. I don't want you doing that on this fellowship.
But anyway.
Don't do that. Please don't do that. Get you a bucket and go outside the room. Anyway, yeah, Vince, you know, that I'm glad you said that, Missy, because I was trying to think of his name earlier today with David. David and I both were trying to mention it. And I said, you remember the guy up in Northwest Arkansas that was from Temecula, California? He said, yeah, I remember. I said, what's his name? And so he wanted to talk about something else. But I'm glad you mentioned that, Vincent Xavier. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to meet him up in Arkansas and took him a bunch of food for the people up there. I took him a trailer load, actually, I pulled behind my pickup that he wanted me to get him and connect him with some people there in Arkansas to give out food to the homeless and stuff. And so I did. And nice guy. And he bought a place up there to make a refuge. He bought 10 acres. I'm sure he's got more than that now up there. But yeah, I remember him. Anybody else? Or is that it?
I've got a thought. Who was Missy? interesting thought. You know, when you look at Sheba and what she did present to King Solomon, you know, she was a Gentile. And if we can look at her things of, you know, her gifts, you know, as people, that she was given for the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of what was given for the wisdom of Christ, you know, the rest of the world, you know. So I find that comment be very interesting. And even looking at her as being the bride, which would be the world, you know, you can kind of, looks like my aunt is calling. But yeah, I just wanted to say that. I'm going to answer her really quick. Yeah, but I kind of see her as the Gentile world who came to hear, who received the wisdom of Christ, you know, and in receiving that wisdom, those who received it became like precious stones and jewels, and, you know, it says spices, you know, sweet smelling savor unto God. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All right, anyone else? Yeah, Benita, go ahead.
I was just going to say in that video, that YouTube, he talks about, well, I think as the bride, one thing about her is that she recognized his wisdom, and not everybody in the world can recognize the wisdom of Christ. And she recognized it to where even the people that surrounded him that were his workers were all very happy and joyous and fulfilled, and they were his workers. And so, you know, even with Christ, you know, we obey him because we love him. And that's how his, Solomon's people around Solomon were. And she recognized that about him. She could see that, where, again, other people can't see that, but the bride can see it in Christ and in the man child.
Yeah, she was amazed at his wisdom. I suppose, how many of you think that Solomon was amazed at his wisdom? I do. I think he was amazed at it also. Because it was a gift. It wasn't anything that he had. It was something God gave him. Yeah, Missy.
What came to me was, you know, we've all had those moments where we've said something and you're like, where'd that come from? And you knew it was the Lord, you know? It makes you wonder how many times he had, where'd that come from moments. Just saying. That's just what came to me.
Yeah.
No, really, when it comes right down to it, we ask that, but we know that it was God. You know, it just even surprises us, you know?
Don't y'all believe that we can have the same wisdom? Yeah, I believe it. I believe we can have the same wisdom. Not only the wisdom, but the power that goes with it. Or the authority, I should say. Yeah, Patrick.
I was just thinking about, I mean, I'll bet we could ask Solomon now where he went wrong. And I think I agree with what you're saying, that he had times when he, you know, he marveled at listening to what was coming out of his mouth. But I think in later years, he started to rest and depend upon that wisdom as opposed to God. And in that dependence, I think, dependent on his ability to maneuver through the word, I guess you might say. And utilize that wisdom, and unfortunately fell in the habit of utilizing that wisdom for his own benefit. And do you think that Solomon repented at the end?
I can tell you what I heard from a guy that went to heaven and came back. He said he saw Solomon in the lowest part of heaven. And he asked him, he said, "You're Solomon. What are you doing way down here?" And of course, Solomon said, "Well, you were smart. What happened?" He said, "Yeah, but my smartness, my wisdom came from God. It wasn't anything that I had." And if you remember, he enjoyed the flesh and the lust of the flesh a lot.
And disobeyed the Lord and his commands too. Yeah. And that's what, I think that was that, and I believe that's exactly what happened to him as well. He started to depend upon that wisdom, and it ended up biting him in the end, because it became an idol to him, even though that wisdom was absolutely pure and righteous. His heart turned it for his own use, I think, which I think is a message to all of us. You know, the Lord wants us, gives us these gifts and these truths. And, you know, I can say this for myself, because I fall in this trap that I want to learn all the things that God is showing me, and I'm excited to learn them and everything. But there's the tendency to pack those things away and, you know, hope that you can use them in another, you know, for when a certain circumstance comes up, and now I'm ready to pull out my, you know, my tools of the trade and start working my magic, you know. But I think that God wants us to be aware of these truths, be aware of the cause and effect relationships that they have, be aware of the fruit that is caused by obeying and walking in certain things that God gives us. But I think the application, he wants us to be ready to listen to his spirit and follow his spirit wherever it leads us in the conversation or the particular circumstances that we're in, and allow him to speak through the process. I know that some of the things I've found that I've learned from the Lord is it's simply, I'm not going to say, well, maybe it is conforming my mind, but it's releasing my mind from certain negative things, negative thoughts or negative sinful nature, or however you want to say it, certain motivations that hinder his word or hinder his free movement through me. And just in taking that negative out of my life, it frees him up to motivate me in certain ways to speak out or to say something or to do something or whatever it would be, or to not say something. I'm sure that everybody here thinks that's doesn't happen that often, but it does. Anyway, so I think the thing I guess I was seeing is that God gives us these gifts to broaden our perspective and give us the freedom to rest in his ability to use them when he wants to use them and when he motivates us to do so. So that's all I had.
Amen. What did Paul tell us that was the most important thing to do? To have. What did he say? 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody knows it. He said, you can have all these things. You can be doing this. You can be doing that. But if you don't have love. Yeah. That's right, Missy. If you don't have love, it's not going to help you at all. Yeah, Patrick.
And thing that the Lord was showing me today is that very thing, that love is a fruit. Mm-hmm. And obviously it is the greatest fruit, but it is a fruit, and it rests on the end of a branch, which rests on, or shall we say, rests on the end of limbs, which rests on a branch, which rests upon a tree, which is rooted deep in the ground and on an unhidden foundation of a root system. And all of those things have to be in place in order for that love, that fruit to flourish, or to the fruit to be there. And the wisdom that the Lord gives us is to strive for, at least the way I see it, is to strive for the fruit. And if the fruit is not there, to look up the branch and see if that fruit is properly attached or in the proper relationship with that limb, and work your way up the, you know, everything is built upon a foundation. The love is there because of certain aspects in our life that have been removed, allowing that life to flow in that area. You know, for instance, it's the removal of hate. And hate is there. Hate is a fruit as well. And if hate is there, then we have to look and find out what the cause of that hate is and remove it. Hate or anger can be there because one of the easiest ways to have hate or anger, let's just say anger, is because we're holding on to a certain right of mine that got violated. Somebody violated my right, and therefore I got angry. So, God wants us not to, he wants us to see that anger, but he also wants us to realize that that anger didn't happen out there on the end of a limb. It happened out here on the branch level of, in my heart, of holding onto a right or something that got violated. And he doesn't want us to grip our hands and grimace, you know, and say, I'm not going to be angry anymore. I'm throwing this anger out. Because it'll never leave. The next right that gets violated, that anger is back. He wants us to by his wisdom and by his perspective, go back there and just look and see, what right am I holding on to here? Or what right got violated? Do I have the right to such and such? And find out what that right is. And then give that right over to God. And allow that right to be his right to hold on to. And then all of a sudden, we don't get angry when that right gets violated, because it's God that's holding on to that right. And if he wants to give us that right or give us that privilege or whatever, it's up to him. It's up to him now. Anyway, and so I'm looking at the cause and effect relationships here and realizing that love is the same way. So anyway, that's all I had.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all mind if I read chapter 13, 1 Corinthians? Because there's a lot in there. It tells us actually what to do. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not its own. Is not provoked, takes not account of evil, rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child and I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abides faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. How many of you got a little sense of condemnation there when I went through all of those things there? Yeah, really. Oh, my. Yes, Lord. We need to put that up on a wall right in front of us, you know. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, taketh no account of evil, rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. Glory to God. Glory to God. But Lord, I'm just asking you right now to place it in all of us, to memorize these things that are not of you, Lord, because we all want to have that love and to just be like the old dead man, and nothing bothers you. Nothing bothers you. Nothing bothers you but you, Lord. And I ask and I pray that for all my brothers and sisters here and myself in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that your love change our heart into your heart. That's my prayer, Lord. Just make your heart our heart, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Welcome on that subject of love. Just interesting for me. What did Jesus ask Peter 3 times, do you love me? But we're talking a different kind of love. How would Peter know the difference between agape, that's your reaction love, and the other one is friendship love? How would you know the difference in action, not in just saying? You understand what I'm asking?
I bet Julie does.
I think you're saying, how did Peter know what love Jesus was asking, or how did he know how to say that?
Yeah, Jesus was asking agape, and he was talking about phileo. So
friendship.
Two different, yeah.
And how did Peter know which one he was talking about?
Yeah.
In those scriptures. Okay.
In the scriptures, it says it's phileo, and number one says it's agape, but in action, in demonstration, how would you know the difference? Sorry, I'm asking.
In the demonstration action, how would Peter, or how would?
Yeah, how would he?
This says, if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, tend my sheep, or something like that. I got the order right and the words right there. But...
Well, what verse is that, Joe? Do you remember?
Look at it. What, John 20 or John 21?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
John 21. Thank you, Pat. 15.
Okay. Okay, I'll read it. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, tend my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walk whither thou would. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now this he spake, signifying what manner of death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. All right, who's got the answer? Now, what's the question again? Why 3 times?
No, but no, the difference is, did you put it
first? Difference in them? Check.
What action should Peter, how did he know what action to take for each one of those? Is that what you're asking, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, each time you're asking, you were talking about different kind of. First, he was talking about feed my lambs, but the little ones. I mean, when he says tend my sheep, and when he says feed my sheep, different kind of growth. But I was asking about agape, and Jesus was talking about agape, and Peter was talking about phileo. How would you know? How would Peter know Jesus was talking about agape? Let me put it this way.
How would you know if it was agape or phileo, and what action? Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, when Michael just read that, each one is an instruction. Each one is an instruction for him to obey. So he's giving him instruction to obey the little sheep or the lambs and stuff. So, and that is agape love. So, you know, he even spoke very boldly when he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." You know, and I think he caught on after three times, you know, because each one was an instruction for obedience, for him to follow the obedience, to bring obedience to the little children, to the flock that he's going to be an apostle for. So that's what I think is there in that love there. So it, you know, if love never fails, you know, I kind of wish Michael would have read 14 and 1 too, 1 Corinthians, because it says, follow after love and desire that you prophesy also. So I think he wants people to prophesy correctly, not be a false prophet, because we know where that ends up. 20 and 10 of Revelation. And, you know, he gives you the ability also to discern who is a false prophet. So as it says in 1 John 4 and 1, he says to do that. I guess the best thing to do would be actually to discern oneself too, to see what you're believing, to see if you hear something new, or see if you hear something that's contrary to something that you were told to believe too. So that disobedience is a primary thing. We here at EBM learned a lot of things from our Lord, and it was very contrary to the stuff we learned in the other denominations that we were in. And it all rains on this obedience, and obedience to God, and can two walk together lest they agree. So it's coming into agreement with him and loving him, even if the rest of the country doesn't want to, or the rest of the city. And it's hard to love people. It's hard to be in that nature, character, but that authority of love, man. I sometimes picture it, you know, how do you have a sword that's supposed to be the word of God, and it's supposed to be love? So I think Peter, I don't think he misunderstood. Maybe he wasn't paying attention, but every answer that Jesus gave was an item of obedience to Peter to follow when he was going to be an apostle. That's the way I see it, you know, even taking it all the way to your death, to your actual physical death. And even an allegory in that death, because you will be having death to self. Death to the old man. And the verse that 1 John 4:19 has is kind of like the verse where he chose you and you didn't choose him. He says there, we love because he first loved us. So we need to attain that love. And there's so many verses that collate together with this love. Like, for God so loved the world. So we love because he first loved us, and not that you chose me, but I chose you. And plus there is a long suffering. You know, I was, when Michael was reading about the love in chapter 13, I was going, well, let's see if I can see all the other fruits in this chapter. You know, there's eight more fruits I have to see there. And does the fruit of the love come with the long suffering? You know, it says, and we know and believe the love that we have in us. God is love. He that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. So there's lots of love also in Romans 13. To love your neighbor, you know, as yourself, which is the fulfillment of the law. And now this knowing, awake, let's wake up out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. So, you know, if a salvation could be progressive, and all this fruit, you know, there's a verse in where your name is going to be progressive, because the Lord's going to talk that way to you, that your name can be progressive. What I mean is anoma. I found a verse there in chapter 17, 25 and 26 of John. It shot out at me that he's going to teach us his name, and he'll make his name known to us. So, you know, it almost seems the way it's written there in 1 John 17, 25 and 26. See, this nature, character, and authority is based on that first love, and the name it for Jesus in 19:13 is the Word of God, and this love has a lot to do with it, because it's the way of ministering this love to anyone you're talking to, anyone, even the neighbor, even your enemy. So it's quite a sharp sword here, a sharp sword that if presented by the Lord's leading will have success all the time. So you know, when you even when you look at all the light that is supposed to be in you, the light of this love through the Holy Spirit, it's going to be in each one of these lights, you know, the faith, you know, the wisdom, the knowledge, the wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. And you know, the fear of the Lord is a respect, a reverence, and an honor for him, which is very close to love, the fear of the Lord. And I always wondered whether these lights that are in our temple, because there's seven of them there, whether they're all at the same level, or does the fear of the Lord have a big light on it, and then wisdom might be a little smaller, or are they all light up at the same level? Because it's you're not it seems that's the way it might be, or I can't answer that as to whether one of the light, because one of them is the strength of the Lord. You know, we're talking the Holy Spirit inside you here. So as one goes up, do they all go up? You know, and how does this anointing work, you know, for this lamp that's supposed to be a light in our soul, where the bread of God is, you know? And I don't know if that answers your question on how he realized it was agape after the third time, or even if that is your question, other than he's giving him instruction for each time. And everything he told to them from the first time he called them and said, come and be my disciple, come and be my apostle, for all of them, all the people in the upper room, all the 120. How come there was so few? He was the greatest speaker ever. there was a lot of lack of love, maybe. Out of the, you know, some people might say there was 500,000 people in Jerusalem area. Why was there only 120 in that upper room? Did they not hear obedience? Did they not hear this love from the Lord, which he only spoke from the Father? Did he not care for them properly? So there's a lot to this love. From every miracle to every person that was fed with a couple of pieces of bread and a few fishes, to calming the sea, to walking on water, all of this obedience. It's remarkable just how much love emanated from Jesus. And in that form of agape. And it makes me feel like really small as a person to, like, how much of this love do I really have anyway? Because, you know, in these days, there's so many things just around the corner. You could be going to the grocery store, and during COVID, and I saw some really bad yelling at each other from two people, you know. How does that affect our spirit when we pass by and there's two people in a shouting argument about something, you know? And they're family related, in-laws related, you know? And so, you know, how does this affect your mind when you get in between something like that? This is the spirit gushing out at one and gush, and you got to walk in between it, you know? And you might not be feeling too good that day or something, you know? You might not be on the ball when you're going through there. This love is amazing, and at the same time, you know, it can sometimes bring you back to honor and reverence. And sometimes you just wonder what the Lord is doing with you. You know, why do you have to see this? You know, people don't want to see that kind of stuff, but you do. You know, how did the people react? You know, how did the people react in the first three centuries? You know, here you got Polycarp, an 86-year-old man, dead, and someone's got to go clean his body. Someone's like, you could be the next show for the Colosseum next week's. Top show if you go claim them, you know, because so there is a love there and a respect for burying the dead. How did this all work out? How did it go? They had such a wonderful love. They called it the birth of their eternal body. So they called it a birthday. I've heard people being martyred since, even now they're being martyred. But to get a grasp on that, even, you know, that is a high form of love. And, I talked enough. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, I say these things, but I tell you, I'm feeling really small when I start talking about this kind of stuff. Especially concerning love. And does the love work the same way? Does the love go for all the other eight? You know, when you get this much love, do you have that much joy? Do you have that much peace? Do you have that much long suffering? You know, he's telling you that after you get the love, you know, you desire the spirituals in 14 and 1. So, he did get a wonderful demonstration of the spirituals in the book of Acts, Peter. So I guess whatever was said there, he caught on really wonderfully. But was it him or the power of God's love working through Peter? Because he was the available one. He was the one who overcame some things. Or I don't even know if overcame is the proper way, to say that. He was the one God sought forth to glorify himself through. Yes, I do believe he trusted him for it too. So praise and glory to God. Just so much to think about when it comes to this amazing love that God has for us.
Amen. Go ahead, Patrick.
So I wanted to, Joe brought up, I just wanted to read the interaction with Jesus and Peter there and plug the word in for love at the time there. When the first conversation is when Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He saith unto them, feed my sheep. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, phileo thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, phileo thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that all things, they know that I phileo thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So I don't have any comments because I'm not really sure what Jesus was getting at in Peter and what Peter was actually seeing through that. But the third time Jesus used the term phileo instead of agape when he questioned him. And so I don't know what, you know, I'm not quite sure what was happening there myself. I do think it was as per that the three times had to do somehow with the three denials that Peter made previously, the previous, you know, night or two before. But as to this interaction, I'm still not clear as to, you know, what was happening at that time. So I just wanted to read it so that we were clear on the words that were being used in that interaction.
Amen. Yeah. Ann Ritter, did you have something you wanted to share?
Hi, I think most of it has been said, but I thought it was as well to do with the interaction like Peter had with Jesus before, where he was so self-assured of his love for him that he would die with him. And then as Jesus had prophesied, he denied him three times. And there seems to be, some kind of way where Jesus was sort of directing him, this is how you love me, you know, not his own, what he decided he was going to love Jesus as, or his own self-confidence, but how Jesus pulled him up out of that. Cause he grieved even, you know, when Jesus was asking him, do you love me the third time? And I can only imagine how much grief he had gone through and self-condemnation after denying him three times and even swearing to it. And just that restoration and the guidance that came from that itself is amazing expression of love, from Christ, you know, and recognition. I see you, and this is how you come back to me, love. And so most of it, I think, has been said already.
Amen. Great. I like the way you said that. That's clears up a lot right there. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm not quite sure if anybody mentioned this, but You know, it's funny, years ago, before I even came to UBM, one day, you know, this topic was being discussed about, you know, this conversation Jesus and Peter had about, you know, do you love me? And it popped into my head was the reason was because he denied him three times. So he asked him three times, do you love me? You know, and it was like, wow, that's, you know, that was, I believe, a word of knowledge that the Lord gave me, because it never says in the Bible that's why he asked him that, but it just, that just really blessed me that the Lord would show that to me. But yeah, the first time's agape, and the second, the first two are agape, and the last one is phileo. And I guess it's kind of like he gave him a reprieve and asking him, do you phileo me on the last time, you know? I was like, okay, I know we can agree on this for sure, you know? He's like, are you sure? Are you sure that you love me? You know, obedient love, you know, the first two times. Because denying certainly is not obedience, but but the Lord gave him grace. And I guess it was kind of like he was really giving him a lot to really think about, you know. But what's so cool is on the day of Pentecost, how he just boldly proclaimed Christ, you know. He was a different man. I mean, he was Christ confident, no longer self-confident, but that's just really cool how bold he was on the day of Pentecost. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we're about out of time. Has anybody got a prayer request? How about a testimony? Yeah, that was a good story there about John and, Peter and down there. Thanks, Joe, for bringing that up. There's something that we might look at Thursday night, if you want to. And that is Romans chapter 10 and verse 6 and 7. Let's take a look at that and see what we can glean from that Thursday night. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. All right. Anybody got a prayer? Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you for your words that come out of your words, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. Your word is an outstanding book for us to live by. And Lord, that love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. Lord, let us look at those things that place it in our hearts. What happened? What happened? What in the world?
We're still here.
Everything yeah, black on my here. Everything black on my end. I can't see anything.
we can see you.
Still recording.